but a personality who established himself throughout the world in many, very prominent circles as a person who was a man, a true man of God. Tonight, we are very honored to have this opportunity to speak about His Holiness Swarup Damodar Goswami. Of course, I'm not qualified to speak on this great personality, but this is our duty to try to make some attempt to try to glorify this great soul. Great souls are hard to understand and impossible to glorify. Only Krishna knows the heart of these personalities. So by the mercy of the Lord, we will try to say something in His honor. Of course, if we really wanted to do a complete performance of glorification, we would be here for hours and hours and hours. Just to list Maharaj's accomplishments in the world. But I'll begin by saying one thing to give you a little bit of understanding of this personality. First, I should say that His Holiness Swarup Damodar Maharaj left the world on October 2nd at 12:15 a.m. Calcutta time, which was, of course, about 12:45 p.m. the day before on October 1st, which was last Sunday. So he passed away about a week ago. And his passing is glorious, as all passings are of great souls. But I won't speak about that too much, because there's too much other things to speak about. Srila Prabhupada, when he began his mission on the order of his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, to come to the Western world and to teach Vedic culture and Vedic knowledge based on the scriptures of India, he was thinking this is not a small accomplishment. And he realized it was an overwhelming task to try to supplant a foreign culture in the Western world. And at the same time, try to let people understand the depth of this wisdom and the depth of this practice of this spiritual process. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada was praying that, my dear Lord, when I do come, please send me some first-class men of the American country so I will be able to get help to spread this movement. And when Prabhupada arrived, and after being here for some time, he realized he couldn't find any first-class men. What's a first-class man? A first-class man is a person who is educated, cultured. He's not proud of his knowledge. He uses his knowledge for the benefit of others, not from his own egotistical accomplishments in this world. A person who has genuine concern and compassion for others. A person who lives his life in the spirit of love, of service to God. And who has great knowledge. That's a first-class man. When Prabhupada came, he was looking for that in the Western world. He couldn't find it. He said, Krishna, later on, he said after many years, Krishna never sent me any first-class men. He never sent me any second-class men. All third and fourth class. But then he did send one first-class, Swarup Damodar. That is an exact statement Prabhupada made. Prabhupada noted that Krishna did send him one person who was first-class. Swarup Damodar Goswami, he was from Manipur. Of course, I can read a little bit about his life growing up in the village of Manipur. He didn't come from a very big aristocratic background. He actually came from a quite simple agrarian family who was simply tending to taking care of agriculture. I'll read. He was born on December 9th, 1937, So when he left this world, he was moving towards his... He was 68. And he would have been 69 on December 9th, right? So he's 68 and a half. He was the only son. In 1957, he passed his matriculation examination with first class undergraduate university in Assam. He graduated from DM College, Impal in science. He completed his MSc degree in applied chemistry in 1964 from Calcutta University. After he enrolled himself in a doctorate degree in physical organic chemistry at the University of California in the United States of America, and he earned his PhD in 1976. In other words, he earned his PhD after he met Srila Prabhupada, because he joined the Hare Krishna movement in 1973. While still pursuing his higher studies, Supdamadhar, who was known as Damodar, joined Srila Prabhupada's life mission as one of his humble disciples. In 1974, he became the director of the Bhaktivedanta Institute, the scientific and academic division of ISKCON. Later, he was appointed Sripad Maharaj, Minister of Higher Education for ISKCON in 1976, and became a member of the Governing Body Commission, the GBC, in 1977, with the responsibility of directing the activities of ISKCON worldwide. He entered into the renounced order, the Sannyasa Ashram, in 1979, from being a nice sticky brahmachari, where the GBC blessed him to the position of initiating spiritual master in 1982. He was a perfect brahmachari throughout his life. How many people you meet like that, especially in Kali Yuga? Damodar Swami authored quite a few books at the Scientific Basis of Krishna Consciousness. In 1974, he authored that book, after 2 years of being in the Hare Krishna movement. Srila Prabhupada told him that you speak to the scientific world and you teach them that God is a person. You teach them that God is a person. And that was a great task, because not only was it difficult and to convince them that God was a person, but it was difficult to convince them that there was even God. Because science has this paradigm where if you bring God into it, then it destroys the whole scientific aspect of experimentation. Because as soon as God comes into the picture, you know, then everything is clear. Just like, I mean, nowadays we have scientific, you know, research, and they still have ideas that man came from monkeys. Isn't that amazing? This is the modern age of education and communication, and still people believe that your ancestors were monkeys. Has anybody ever seen a monkey give birth to a man? Nobody ever saw a monkey give birth to a man, and yet still they believe it. Just like in Columbus discovered America, and everyone told Columbus, you're crazy. The world is not round, it's flat, and if you sail that way, you're going to fall off the earth. That was the scientist those days. You're going to fall deep down into some hellish abode where dragons with fire will destroy you. Yeah, that was. So today, I mean, we've become a little different. We just say that we've came from monkeys. Isn't that not so much of a change? So today, science is science fiction. So Prabhupada knew that people are being deluded by these people who are known as today's leaders, the scientists. Therefore, Supdamadhar Maharaj had a degree in biological chemistry. And he used to be with Prabhupada, and he knew the scientific arguments on the basis of what we say, you know, life comes from matter, because he studied that in college. And so he would present his arguments to Prabhupada that life is simply a combination of chemicals. Now, he wasn't doing it as a believer, but he was doing it just to bring out the points that Prabhupada would explain. And Prabhupada would answer those points from the personal point of view and establish on the basis of scripture that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and everything in creation is emanating from Krishna. Krishna is the source of everything. And defeating very systematically and very, very thoroughly all the scientific arguments. And Prabhupada realized how powerful and how much of a grip the scientific world has on the minds of people, especially in the Western world, and how that they, that by that grip, people are under the illusion of matter. That somehow or other, matter is the source of existence. And by rearranging matter, one can rearrange their life like that. So Prabhupada knew here was a person whose name was Damodar at the time. Here is a man that can make a difference in the world. So Prabhupada told him, you teach this knowledge that God is a person to the scientific world. So in 1974, he established the Bhaktivedanta Institute, the BI, which was the scientific basis of the ISKCON Society. And they wrote papers, met scientists, and gradually developed their program. In 1986, the first science and religion conference was held in the world, sponsored by ISKCON in Bombay, where many prominent scientists from all over the world came for that conference. It was, let me see, the Bhaktivedanta Institute. Let's see. My notes are a little here. This was in Bombay in 1986. In 1997, the Second World Conference of the Synthesis of the Science and Religion in Calcutta was established. And based on that conference, a huge book was published by Sarup Damodar Maharaj. He was the leader in that field, and he had organized these conferences single-handedly, bringing in people who are well known within the scientific field. So this continued, where to this day he has written a book called Life and Matter, God is a Person, Harmony and Peace, a magazine called Savigyanam, which talks about the existence of God. In various articles. He met with 7 Nobel laureates on science and spirituality, wrote a book, Life and Spiritual Evolution, Essays on Science and Religion, Vedanta and Science, Science, Spirituality, and the Nature of Reality, and then also many, many other smaller books and articles. And he was traveling around the world constantly, developing these programs, meeting scientists. Untiringly. In 2004, I had the good fortune to be with him in Italy. I met him in Prabhupada Desh, one of our temples in Italy. We spent some time together, and then from there we traveled. He was on his way to Rome to develop a conference, and that conference in 2004 was a landmark conference which brought together some very prominent scientists of the world. That was the second International Congress on Life and Its Origin in Rome, Italy. He was breaking into the scientific field in the very way that these scientists were actually listening to the theistic understanding of God. Because there are a class of science who have finally understood that matter doesn't move by itself. Matter moves by consciousness. And they're trying to understand what is the nature of consciousness. Of course, we say that consciousness is the symptom of the presence of the spirit soul. Wherever there is the spirit soul, there is consciousness. But there is a supreme consciousness that is moving the entire creation, and that is God. So now the scientists are actually exploring this world of consciousness and seeing how consciousness affects matter. This was mostly due by Srup Damodar's effort into this area. He was also a member of the World Parliament of Religions here in Chicago. He established himself as a full-time member and was recognized and loved by all the members of the World Parliament of Religions. Not only did he do work in interfaith, in scientific world, but he was a prominent leader in interfaith, developing programs with other religious groups throughout the world. In the year 2004, I had the good fortune to be with him in Barcelona, Spain, where the World Parliament of Religions did a wonderful conference where they brought major religious leaders from all over the world. This conference is held every 5 years somewhere in the world, and Srup Damodar Maharaj was there. He headed up many workshops and he organized many, many programs presenting Krishna consciousness in this particular arena. It's not easy to do that. If you think it's easy, try it. But try it anyway, because if you try it, maybe Krishna will empower you. But it's to interact with people of other faiths and people of scientific mentalities, and to present your ideas in such a way that they don't become offended. They actually listen. They actually learn and adopt some of your principles. This was Srup Damodar Maharaj. He was a leader in that field. Here's some of the other things. He developed a seminar on the role of spirituality in the new millennium in Allahabad, India in 2001. A seminar on science, spirituality, and the future of humanity in Manipur in the year 2000. Conferences on bioethics in France in 1992. 8 regional Bhagwat science conferences on spiritual knowledge. The Missing Link, Modern Education, Chennai and Mumbai in 1985. A seminar on religion and science in Hyderabad. International Symposium on Science and Religion in Tirupati in 1981. These are just a few of the scientific symposiums and conferences developed. Origins of Life, Health and Consciousness, The Modern Structure of the Universe. These were three other topics that he developed. He gave his whole life to his service to Srila Prabhupada in order to awaken within the world God consciousness and to the most, what we say, difficult areas of education, the scientific world. Because science has their own understanding of how to do things. They have what is called a paradigm. A paradigm means if some information doesn't fit within their paradigm, they reject it. But still, he wasn't dissuaded nor discouraged. He presented Krishna consciousness in that arena. And not only that, because I had the good fortune to be with him in some of these different places he went, and I watched him. He was always relaxed. He was always jolly. Did you know Srup Damodar Maharaj was always jolly? He would laugh. He would laugh. He was always so jolly. And Prabhupada said, that is the sign of Krishna consciousness, when you're jolly. Because jolly, or what we say, happiness, is a feature of the soul. And when the soul is connected to God, the soul becomes enlivened. And the body and the mind becomes happy or jolly. He was always jolly. I remember we were together in Italy and we were doing a seminar together. So my seminar was on one feature of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So I took out my Chaitanya Charitamrita, which was a big volume. The new volume had just come out about a year ago. one full volume of the life of Lord Chaitanya. So I was reading from it and presenting my sermon. And Maharaj was looking at the book, and I could tell, I think he likes this book. I have to give him my book. I don't want to give him my book. I'm really attached to this book. I'm reading it every day. It's the only book I want to read, and I don't want to give it up. But he was looking at my book. So I was thinking, I have to get him one of these books. So I went researching all over Italy, and finally I found someone who had a copy. I said, send it to him and I'll pay for it. Just please, he likes this book. He never asked me for it. At one point, I remember I said, Maharaj, do you want to copy this book? He said, yes. He didn't say, well, you know. He said, yes. So then, and within a few days, actually maybe about a week, a book was sent to him. He was happy. We took lunch together that time, and then we traveled together to one small place in Italy called Terni, Italy. A little remote town somewhere in the middle of Italy. We went on a little vacation, R&R. You know, sometimes sannyasis, we travel and we preach, so we get a little worn out. We need a break. So we were together and we shared a room together. And just before that, we were talking. And he was saying, how do you get around? Who pays for your expenses? Well, I say, well, Maharaj, I get donations once in a while. It keeps me going. But I don't have any disciples. He says, oh, you get donations. So the next day, he came up and he handed me 100 euros, which is about $120. I said, Maharaj, what are you doing? He said, this is a donation to you. I said, I can't take that from you. He said, no, I'm going to give it to you. Take it. And I was embarrassed because you don't usually get donations from senior sannyasis. It's just not the way things happen. But he gave me, from the kindness of his heart, he handed me 100 euros. He said, here, please take it. And the way he handed it, I couldn't refuse. You know, he wouldn't take it back. So I realized here is a very, very special person. He's so kind and considerate that he's not like always with the science and the big philosophy, and he's got a big intellectual brain, so he doesn't deal with us on an ordinary level. He's very personal, very kind, very, very simple in nature, but very, very fixed in his God consciousness. That was Sarup Damodar Maharaj, a very, very special person. Of course, many of you had met him when he was here in Chicago. I think he came last year, and he also came the year before. He came one time, I remember, there was a wedding going on. Sri Radha and Yasoda Dulal were getting married. And somehow or other, Ramapad Swami, Radhanath Swami, myself, and Indrajumna Swami were all here. Sarup Damodar was here for a conference. He just happened to come to the temple that day, and we asked him, would you like to speak at the wedding? And he was shocked, but he said, all right. And when he spoke at the wedding, he said, well, here I am. I came for the scientific conference here, the religious conference, and now I'm speaking at a wedding. He didn't really think that this was, you know, what he should be doing. But because the devotees asked him, he did it. And it was four sannyasis already speaking at a wedding. And usually sannyasis don't speak at a wedding so much. But this was a special wedding. And he spoke, and we all spoke. And that same night, we had a wonderful presentation on Krishna consciousness. The five of us spoke, I remember. He spoke on the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. As we've seen from his wonderful disciple, Gadadhar Prabhu, who is also from Manipur, he grew up in Krishna consciousness. He stays in California. he's imbibed many of the good qualities of his spiritual master. So, Maharaj, if you meet his disciples, you'll find that they emanate many of his good qualities. He was loved by everyone. Practically the whole world, in every country, there are people who knew Swarup Damodar from different points. He was the Hare Krishna scientist. He was the Hare Krishna religionist. He was the man of intermeve, the man of science, or just the man of kirtan, or the man of the Manipur martial arts team. He would bring the Manipur dancers and the martial arts performers from Manipur to do demonstrations in temples throughout the world. And he personally helped them and trained them and showed them how to perform. He was a man of so many talents, but yet he was so dedicated to simply helping people become Krishna consciousness. It's a great loss to the world. We're actually very sad. When I heard about his departure from the world, I was shocked. He just survived a near-death experience about a month before that, actually a month and a half, where in Manipur a bomb was thrown during the Janmashtami celebration, and he was there, and six people were killed, and he somehow or other escaped with just some minor injuries. But I'm sure Maharaj was experienced great unhappiness when he learned of the death of six people during that thing. He was that kind of person who took that to heart, that these people died in that bomb blast. It was a political thing, but it was aimed at ISKCON. And somehow we were all happy that somehow he escaped that. But Krishna has his plans, and Krishna's plans no one can understand. If you can understand the plan of Krishna, then you're as good as Krishna. And Krishna works in mysterious ways. So for some reason, he took His Holiness Swarup Damodar from our presence and brought him back to the spiritual world. But one thing we should say in my closing is that we can honor a man by speaking about his glories. We can honor a man in so many ways. But the best way to honor a man is to live for what he lived for. That is the highest form of honoring. So what he lived for was to spread Krishna consciousness around the world in a very, what we say, powerful way. So we hope and we pray that others will continue with his great mission of reaching into the scientific world and presenting Krishna consciousness. This work, he told me last year, this work is just beginning. It's just beginning, and we're making major inroads into the scientific field. He told me with great happiness, he said, you know, Maharaj, there's a conference by scientists on humility. It was in 2004 in Atlanta, Georgia. It was a conference on humility. The scientists are wanting to find out what is the nature of humility. 3 days conference. Can you imagine? So there's actually some breakthrough into the scientific world. They're investigating what does religion can offer, or what does spirituality can offer for bringing in the truth. There are some honest scientists, there are many actually, who are sincere in presenting the truth. There are many who are bewildered and will never understand. But Swarup Damodar was able to reach many, and because of his presence and because of his nature, people listened. Not so much by what he had to say, that was important, but the personality who was saying is what attracted people to listen. He was a man of God, he was a man of integrity, he was a man of character, he was a man of spirituality, he was a man of generosity, he was perfect in all good qualities. And Srila Prabhupada loved him very much and gave him a big mission in the world. And he accomplished his mission. His life is successful. His legacy will live on, And somehow or other, if we can help fulfill that legacy by taking up a little bit of that same mission and bringing Krishna consciousness to others. So thank you for attending this wonderful program. I'll stop here. And I'd like to invite my dear godbrother, Shankar Pandit, to come and say a few words in honor of Sarup Damodar Maharaj. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Everyone, Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sripad Sarup Damodar Maharaj ki jai. I feel very honored to be able to just speak a few words about His Holiness Sarup Damodar Goswami Maharaj. Our Krishna consciousness movement is like a great sky. Sky in the sense that the devotees in this movement are like luminaries. Srila Prabhupada wanted the devotees to be able to reflect the qualities of Krishna by preaching in this world. So our Krishna consciousness sky has lost a great luminary in the person of Srila Sarup Damodar Goswami Maharaj. As Chandramani Maharaj was pointing out, Sarup Damodar Maharaj took birth in Manipur. Now for many of you, you may not know so much of the historical content of Manipur. Geographically speaking, Manipur is the furthest eastern state of India. It borders Burma, China, and other countries. And the Himalayan mountain range goes throughout Manipur. Now, Manipur is special not just because of this geographical situation, but the Vedic literatures, including the Srimad Bhagavatam and Mahabharata, gives direct reference to Manipur, even by name. As many of you who are readers of the Mahabharata know that Arjuna, the recipient of Lord Krishna's Bhagavad Gita message, visited Manipur. Arjuna married one of the queens of Manipur. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada gave great importance to this place, Manipur. He said, it is the only Vaishnava state in the entire world, Manipur. Srila Prabhupada also said that the Manipurian Vaishnavas are descendants of Arjuna. Pretty much the entire area of Manipur consists of Vaishnavas. Not only did Arjuna visit Manipur, but Narottam Das Thakur, one of the greatest preachers in our disciplic line, visited Manipur. Now, if any of you have had the good fortune of seeing the Manipurian Vaishnavas perform Sankirtan, chanting and dancing, it is extremely dramatic, melodic, and acrobatic. This was the style that was introduced by Narottam Das Thakur. So therefore, practically all of the residents of Manipur are Vaishnavas. They are devotees of Krishna and devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When I first met Sarup Damodar Maharaj, maybe in 1979, I was curious about his upbringing. So I said, what was it like growing up in Manipur? And Sarup Damodar Maharaj, like a child, very happy, beaming, he said, it was very nice. He said, I would sometimes see the sadhus feeding milk to tigers. Because again, Manipur practically encompasses nearby forests and jungles. So quite often tigers would literally roam into the villages. So Sadhu Dharmar said, yes, I even saw some of the sadhus feeding milk to the tigers. And this way the tigers wouldn't attack anyone. They'll just drink the milk like a cat and go away. So I said, Maharaj, what did you do in your childhood? He said, I used to read books about sadhus, yogis. He said, I thought if they could become great sadhus, I can become like them. So I used to read books thinking, how can I become a saintly person? So I found that quite fascinating. And as Maharaj Chanchamani Maharaj is pointing out, eventually Sadhu Damodar Maharaj attended one of the universities in America, California, and prior to meeting the devotees, one of his college friends, very close colleague, also Indian, first saw the devotees, ISKCON devotees, in the streets of California performing Sankirtan. That person went back to the dormitory room and said to Sadhu Damodar Maharaj, I saw some Hare Krishna people dancing in the streets of California. They're not Indian. They're all American. And Sadhu Damodar Maharaj thought this was quite interesting. So he investigated, had the good fortune of meeting Srila Prabhupada and the devotees, and eventually became an initiated devotee. Now what is very amazing is that this colleague of Sadhu Damodar Maharaj also took initiation from Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada named this person Ramananda. And Prabhupada gave Sadhu Damodar that his name, Sadhu Damodar. Now, in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sadhu Damodar and Ramananda Roy were the two greatest intimate associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it's quite interesting that Srila Prabhupada awarded these two disciples these names. They were friends, they're very close to one another, and they took the mission of Srila Prabhupada very seriously. Ramananda Prabhu passed away from this world due to a terminal illness in 1977. But Sadhu Damodar, with fond memories, would always say it was because of Ramananda he met Srila Prabhupada. So, as the years rolled by, and I had the good fortune of meeting Sadhu Damodar Maharaj at different times, he told me once, he said, I'm observing that many devotees in ISKCON do not know proper hygiene, how to take care of their health, food combinations, basic physical hygiene. Said, I want to write a book based on Ayurveda, how devotees can maintain their health. And one of the last times Maharaj was here in Chicago, I asked him, I said, Maharaj, are you making any progress in writing this book about health? And he laughed. He said, no, I'm too busy. He said, no time. But he still had that desire because he observed that although this is a very fundamental principle, maintaining one's physical health, he saw that many devotees weren't very expert in just the basics of physical and mental health. So he wanted to do something. As Chanchamali Maharaj was pointing out, that many of us here in Chicago ISKCON had the good fortune of having Maharaj's association the last 2 or 3 years, and I particularly feel very honored that during some of his Chicago visits, I had the good fortune of driving him to different universities for him to meet with various professors and scientists. And it was quite interesting to see Sadhu Damodar Maharaj's mood. Although he was certainly academically qualified as a PhD holder, but his heart was very, very simple, pure, and humble. And I was simply amazed to just constantly see this. Sometimes he would show me a list of many scientists and very prominent persons that he was preaching to. And like a child, he was so happy. And he was showing me, he said, yes, this man is a Nobel laureate. He won the Nobel Peace Prize. So this man is the head of, just as an example, Harvard University's science branch. I mean, just very, very big people. And he knew them on a personal basis. Now, whenever Srila Damodar Maharaj met with Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada would always talk about life comes from life. Life does not come from matter. In fact, one godbrother who was with Srila Prabhupada during the very last days of Prabhupada's physical appearance in this world, said that the day before Srila Prabhupada departed from this world, November 13th, 1977, he was speaking to Srila Damodar Maharaj in the evening hours. And although Srila Prabhupada's body was completely, was practically 100% deteriorated, still Srila Prabhupada was giving Srila Damodar Maharaj last-minute instructions. Life comes from life. We do not see any example of chemicals producing life. And then Srila Prabhupada said to Srila Damodar Maharaj, he said, life is coming from four sources. From the seed, from perspiration, from the egg, and from the womb. Not from chemicals. He said, this is in the Bhagavad Gita. He said, but the scientists, they cannot understand Bhagavad Gita. Nor do they understand this verse. And then Srila Prabhupada quoted, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Na Sochati Na Kankchati. Prabhupada said, the scientists, they do not understand this verse, indicating that a self-realized person is always happy, despite the external condition of the body. And Prabhupada said, and I am that Brahma Bhuta person. They do not understand me. And Srila Damodar Maharaj later said, I never forget that because it was such a dramatic statement of Srila Prabhupada. Saying the scientists, they do not understand this. And I am that Brahma Bhuta person. So, Srila Prabhupada was certainly very, very pleased with the preaching accomplishments of Srila Damodar Maharaj. So much so that during that same time period, as when Srila Prabhupada was preparing to leave this world, Srila Damodar Maharaj and some of the other members of the Bhaktivedanta Institute came to see Srila Prabhupada, and they were dressed in their suits and ties. Because Prabhupada said, when you go see a scientist, but they're such a big man, you should dress like them. If you simply go in the dhoti, they will not listen to you. So Prabhupada directly told Srila Damodar Maharaj and the others, you go first, meet them with necktie. Look respectable, and then they'll listen to what you have to say. So Srila Damodar Maharaj and some of the other members of the Bhaktivedanta Institute, they came to see Srila Prabhupada with their suits on. Srila Prabhupada was lying on his bed just days before leaving this world. And Srila Damodar Maharaj and the other devotees, they were preparing to sit on the floor at Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. And when Srila Prabhupada saw Srila Damodar, he forbade him to sit on the floor. He said, no, no. He told the other devotees, bring them chairs. They're doing very important preaching work. Let them sit on chairs, not on the floor. So Prabhupada was very, very fond of Srila Damodar Maharaj and the Bhaktivedanta Institute, that he even told the devotees representing the international BBT, Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, so whatever money they need for their scientific preaching, give it to them. Said the price, the cost, it doesn't matter. So Prabhupada was willing to allocate any amount of money required for this type of preaching. I'll just end with one or two more stories because now we have the slideshow set up. One godbrother one disciple of Srila Prabhupada, many of you may know, named Pita Das, spent many years in China. In fact, he was one of the very first Western devotees to go to China to preach. And at this time, preaching in China was very difficult. the communist influence was so great that they didn't give any importance to the devotee presence. So Peter explained that during the mid-80s, Sarup Dhammadhammaraj called the Hong Kong temple and he said, "I'm in the airport and I have a layover for about 2 or 3 hours. Is it possible some devotees can come? I'm sitting here, I've never been here, and I don't know how to move about China. Is it possible someone can come?" So Peter said, "Maharaj, yes, I will come. The other devotees are quite busy with their service, but I will come." So Peter said when he went to the airport terminal, he saw Sarup Dhammadhammaraj sitting down, and there's about 50 people surrounding him, Chinese people surrounding him. And so this somewhat intrigued Sarup Dhammadhammaraj. So he asked Peter, "So what do they want?" And Peter speaks fluent Mandarin. He inquired from them. And they said, "We just want his association. He's a holy person." So Peter said, "Maharaj, they're worshipping you." And Maharaj said, "Why?" And Peter thought it was quite interesting because although Maharaj was sitting there with his dhoti and tilak, prior to his visit, the Chinese wouldn't give much respect to any of the ISKCON devotees. But upon seeing the personality of Sarup Dhammadhammaraj, perhaps in their minds they were thinking, here is a great monk representing the Buddhist tradition or something. But somehow they could recognize, here is a holy man. And in their own way, they were offering their respects. So there are obviously many, many interesting stories regarding Sarup Dhammadhammaraj. And as we've heard, certainly it is a great loss for our ISKCON society, for Gaudiya Vaishnavism. But one thing more I can share. When Maharaj was here, I said, "Maharaj, the Vedas say that there are 8,400,000 species of life. And within that 400,000 category, it constitutes human beings." I said, "So are these human species all on this particular planet?" And Maharaj said, "No." He said, "They're scattered throughout the universe." And I said, "Is it because of this large variety of human species that perhaps scientists like Darwin mistook human beings coming from these maybe other types of life forms like monkeys, etc.?" So Sarup Dhammadhammaraj said, "Yes, well, even the certain monkey species, we can call them," and he coined the term himself. He said, "Let's call them humanoids, because they're human-like." He said, "This is why many scientists mistakenly think that human beings are a result of evolving from these lower life forms, because certain monkey species resemble human beings by their behavior, by their even thinking." He said, "It is call them humanoids. They're human-like, but not exactly human beings." So certainly, the Gaudiya Vaishnava community certainly misses this person, Sarup Dhammadhammaraj. This is a disciple that Srila Prabhupada had so much affection for. Srila Prabhupada loved all of his disciples, but Sarup Dhammadhammaraj was always the recipient of Srila Prabhupada's affection in a very, very unique way. So today we're certainly mourning the loss of this great personality. And it is quite befitting that Sarup Dhammadhammaraj made pre-arrangements that he wanted his body to be buried in Radha Kund, which is a very, very special part of Vrindavan, because he always saw that Vrindavan was the heart of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So on this day, I certainly feel very fortunate that I've been able to share with you some things about His Holiness, Sripad Sarup Dhammadhammaraj. And I can say that for His disciples who are present, You're very, very fortunate that you have had a great personality in the shape of Srup Damodar Maharaj guiding you, setting such a wonderful example and standard. Please do not become distracted or confused. Know that your Guru Maharaj is certainly being guided by Srila Prabhupada, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna. And whatever instructions that he has given you, individually and collectively, try to adhere to that to the best of your ability, and you will certainly achieve success. Thank you very much for this opportunity.